evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming back to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're all about freedom of speech here on RBN, and freedom of speech has been something that's driving me for most of my life because that's something I've always very strongly believed in. It's the foundation of American liberty. And last night we had a very interesting guest, a fine entertainer, a great American, a guy by the name of Paul Tepeti, who is suffering not freedom of speech so much problems, but freedom of song, because people objected to his political views, they prevented him from singing. He's an entertainer, and it's pretty scary, ladies and gentlemen. That's the United States of America. Well, tonight we have a guest. He's coming in from Canada. His name is Paul Fromm. That's F-R-O-M-M. And he's the founder of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. That's C-A-F-E. Pretty easy to remember. Paul is going to be talking about a very interesting case that, it not only involves the United States, it involves Canada, and it involves the so-called, I emphasize the word, so-called Democratic Republic of Germany. We're going to be talking about the case of Ernst Zundel. Many of you are familiar with the story of Ernst Zundel. I'm going to summarize it real quickly, the early portion of Ernst Zundel's affairs until we lead up to our guest tonight and what he's going to give us the latest on it. But Ernst Zundel was born in Canada. This is another free speech story, ladies and gentlemen, and this is a scary one. Ernst Zundel was born in Germany, I should say. Immigrated to Canada as a young man, where he was a professional in the field of graphic design. He also was rather politically outspoken. And, well, to make a very long, winding, complicated story very short, some years ago, back in the early 1980s, he fell afoul of Canada's restrictive free speech laws and was prosecuted for raising questions about events during World War II, events in that period, that section of history known as the Holocaust. Well, Ernst Zundel was in court for years and years and years. And I'm taking a very long and complicated story and making it very short. And in any case, finally, when all was said and done, it was resolved essentially to his he won. Needless to say, Canada still does have restrictive laws on freedom of expression up there. But Ernst Zundel came to the United States. He married someone here in the United States and settled in Tennessee. And lo and behold, some time ago, he was basically stolen from the United States with the, use that term, he was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by our wonderful Immigration and Naturalization Service. He had failed to show up for one of his meetings with immigration and was promptly sent back to Canada. Well, Ernst Zundel was no longer in Canada. Ernst Zundel is now in Germany, where he is being prosecuted. He was expelled from Canada and sent to Germany, and he is being prosecuted in Germany for Holocaust denial. And it's an absolutely remarkable story. I've asked Paul Fromm to come on tonight because Paul has been very prominent in the effort to help out Ernst Zundel. Paul has been active in political affairs in Canada, not just in the issue of free expression, but in the issue of foreign aid, on the issues I hear the break coming up. Paul is with us, and we'll bring him up after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm here in Washington, D.C. Please stay tuned. It's going to be a very interesting show.
I'm Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm here in Washington, D.C., here in the capital of our republic, so-called, and we're talking again, as we always do every night, about freedom of speech. But we have a guest, a special guest here coming to you tonight from Canada, who by a series of circumstances has emerged as one of the most outspoken advocates for freedom of expression, not just in Canada where he's based, but really throughout the world. He's been leading the fight on behalf of Ernst Zundel, a German-born Canadian who then, as we told you before the break, settled in the United States, then was kidnapped by our own Immigration and Naturalization Service, turned back over to the Canadians, and now is in Canada is in Germany on trial for Holocaust denial. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not here tonight to debate the Holocaust and whether or not there were 6 Jews or 6 million Jews killed. We're here to talk about freedom of expression in the United States, Canada, in the entire world, and whether or not because someone puts something on the Internet that a foreign government finds offensive, that that person can be taken from his home and shipped overseas and put on trial. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if it happened to Ernst Zundel, it might just someday happen to you. So that's where we're going tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I am very pleased to bring up our guest tonight, my good friend Paul Fromm from Canada. Paul, come on up.
Hi, Mike. It's good to be on your show.
Yeah, Paul. Before you jumped in, I gave them the 10-cent version of Ernst Zundel's Life and Times prior to the time that he settled here in the United States. with his wife Ingrid Zimland, and Paul, I just like, for you know, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with Ernst's story from that point forward. Certainly, with really anything about Ernst, so I'd like you to tell them just how Ernst Zundel ended up being dragged from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, to the Republic, so called, of Germany.
Well, do you want his background, or do you want what happened after he was arrested?
After he was arrested, I've already told the audience basically that Ernst had a long and I would say glorious history fighting the Canadian government for many years over freedom of speech issues. But after he comes here to the United States, his freedom is taken away, and it's a very bizarre story, but a story people need to know about.
Yeah, it really is a very bizarre story, Mike, especially when you consider that your country's absolutely invaded with millions of people that are in the country illegally. Now, Ernst Zundel was not that type of person. He had settled with his wife, Ingrid Rimland, in East Tennessee, not very far from Dolly Parton's home in Sevierville, and he wanted to become an American citizen, so he made the proper application. He arranged for fingerprinting, an FBI interview. He'd had several meetings with INS, and he was advised that they wanted him to come for another meeting. So he talked to his lawyer, and his lawyer said, "Well, I can't make it at that time." So they faxed the INS and said, "We can't make it, but can we reschedule?" Well, they didn't hear, and the lawyer again faxed and didn't hear, so he assumed, well, these things are pretty routine, but when they want to have a meeting, they'll get in touch. And they didn't. And 18 months later, they arrested Ernst Zundel and said he'd skipped the meeting. And within 2 weeks, despite his application for habeas corpus, he was deported to Canada. Now, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeal in Cincinnati has since said that his rights were violated. But he's in a catch-22. He's been ordered deported, so he can't come back to actually exercise his right to appeal his deportation. So he was deported to Canada. Now, Canada said, well, of course, you had been a landed immigrant he'd been in Canada from 58 through the year 2000. But they said, well, you're no longer considered such. So
Paul, let me interrupt there just to emphasize that. He had been in Canada from 1958 to the year 2000, is that right?
That's right.
Quite a long time. That's, what, 42 years?
Oh, yes. And he basically lived all his adult life in Canada, except for the last couple of years in the States. He'd been an employer. He'd employed people. He made a lot of money in the graphic arts business. You know, he was the sort of person that our country always says we really want. Well,
and the kind of person that the United States should want as a citizen, too, I might add.
Yeah, exactly. Unless, of course, they're Germans with political opinions. Anyway, to make a long, complicated story a bit shorter, when he got to Canada, they threw him in solitary confinement, and he was there from the 17th of February 2003 until he was deported on March 3rd of 2005. They claimed he was a threat to national security because he was a terrorist. And I was deeply involved in his hearings. I at one point represented him at an immigration hearing, and later I was part of the defense team at very lengthy hearings into his case. And the government's case was laughable. They said he was a terrorist, and their evidence was that he had friends, or he had acquaintances who might be inclined to violence. Not that they actually had ever been convicted of violence, but then they said, well, his ideas might inflame people.
Now, his ideas might inflame people.
That essentially was the government's case.
Right.
Not that, you know, when we actually have people in Canada that blew up a flight to London, the Air India flight in 1985, people who actually did commit terrorist acts that killed 350 people. It's not that we have a lack of people who might really fit the bill for terrorists, but here what they're doing is criminalizing thoughts and expressions and then using that blanket term terrorist. And everybody's afraid of terrorism. Nobody wants to see, you know, buildings fall down or planes, you know, be swept out of the skies.
Let me ask you a question, Paul, just for the record. I know the answer to this, and I'm sure our listeners know even without hearing it answered, but Was Ernst Zundel ever arrested for plotting to blow up a building? Was he ever arrested on illegal arms charges? Was he ever linked to international criminal gangs of any kind?
No, Ernst Zundel had been in Canada, as you noted, for 42 years. He was never convicted of any criminal act in Canada. He was never charged with any act of violence. His supporters were never charged with any act of violence. He is a lifelong pacifist. The reason he chose Canada rather than the United States or Australia back in 1958 was that we did not, at that point, have a draft. And he comes out of a Seventh-day Adventist religious background, and he is absolutely a nonviolent man. He's a real pacifist. And, anybody who knew him knew what a complete crock the government's charges were. But in those hearings that into Ernst Zundel under a little known aspect of Canadian law, he was tried in secret. Well, actually, there were public hearings, and then there was also secret testimony, and Ernst had no way of knowing what the accusations were or who the witnesses were. We were in a position where we couldn't defend him, and we basically swept Anglo-Saxon law back 500 years to the Court of the Star Chamber. Those rights that we fought so hard for in the English world, the right to be able to confront your accuser, the right to be able to know the charge against you, went out the window.
I have to remind our listeners, we're talking about our friends up in Canada here, just north of the border. I mean, a lot of Americans, if they've never been to Canada, they have a pretty friendly view of Canada and look upon it as a nice, friendly democracy next door where they have a lot of freedoms, that like we have in the United States. But we're hearing a pretty scary story here, Paul. So,
scary story.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, Ernst was expelled from Canada and sent back to his native country of Germany, where he hadn't been in residence for 42 years, and he's in jail there, and he's on trial. Could you tell us how that came about?
Yes, the German government asked for him to be extradited, and after Canada determined he was a threat to national security because his ideas might inflame somebody, he was deported to Germany, and that was on March 3rd of 2005. In Germany, they wanted him on charges of defaming the memory of the dead. Now, that doesn't mean knocking over tombstones or saying bad things about Grandpa after he's passed away. It means challenging what I call the Hollywood version of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Germany was completely guilty for the war, and that 6 million Jews were massacred on an order of Adolf Hitler, etc. And Ernst Zundel has his own particular views about that. And he also has views about the complexity of the war. I mean, the war just didn't just start because Hitler went crazy and so on. I mean, there's quite a story about the animosities within Germany, within Europe, and so on. And I know that's not really the point of your program tonight, but that was the type of thing that Ernst Zundel had gone into, and that is now illegal in Germany. And despite the fact that I guess most Americans, like most Canadians, think Germany's a democracy, in point of fact, it's still in many ways a totalitarian country, and woe betide you if you have dissident views. So anyway, Zundel is accused of defaming the memory of the dead, which means challenging the almost the new state religion about World War II.
Exactly.
And he could face up to 5 years in jail.
Now, Paul, they're claiming the right to try him because he is a German citizen or a German national.
Yes, most of the accusations have to do with material that's appeared on the internet, on the website that's put out by his wife Ingrid Rimland. It's located in the United States. It's edited and controlled by an American citizen, Ingrid Rimland. This is really another thing that's very, I think, should be of concern to a lot, to anybody who's interested in basic civil rights, and that's this tendency to extraterritoriality.
Okay, Paul, we have a break coming up here, but we're certainly going to pursue this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, the number is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a special guest from Canada calling in this evening, Paul Fromm. He's with the Canadian Association for Free Expression. And I'm going to give you his website right now. It's a very easy address to remember. CanadianFreeSpeech.com, just like it sounds. I think we can all spell Canadian. I think we can all spell free, and I think we can all spell speech. CanadianFreeSpeech.com. Later, I'm going to ask Paul to give you his mailing address so you can help him out. But suffice it to say, I think his website is a website that's of interest not only to people who are concerned about freedom of speech, but the problems of immigration and multiculturalism and internationalism and everything that is harmful to national sovereignty, not just Canadian national sovereignty, but American national sovereignty, all nation sovereignty. So get your pen and paper out later, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll give you that address later. But let's go back to Paul, because he's talking about the case of Ernst Zundel. And Ernst Zundel is sitting in jail right now, and he is on trial in Germany because he has dared to raise questions about the Holocaust. And, people say, okay, well, it was a horrible thing. It's morally reprehensible to ask questions about it. I take a very strong differing opinion on that and say that there really shouldn't be any laws anywhere restricting anyone's right to raise any questions about any event in history. But be that as it may, Ernst Zundel is on trial, and he faces jail, does he not, Paul, if convicted?
Yes, he's been in jail now for almost a year. We're 2 days short of the 1 year anniversary of his death. He faces up to 5 years in jail for these charges. It really is a black mark, I think, on the honor of Germany, of putting a man in jail, putting him on trial for his ideas. You know, we're going back into the Middle Ages, really, rather than advancing.
You know, Paul, I guess people don't often realize how rampant this is. They've heard of the case of David Irving, which I've talked about on this show, and which people are, you know, David Irving is far better known than Ernst Zundel, and there have been other people like Germar Rudolph. They're facing trial or jail time. But the fact is it not correct that there are literally thousands of people who have been jailed in Germany and Austria and other European countries over the past several, and really say over the past decade, because of these kind of restrictive laws regarding freedom of speech?
That's right, Mike. There have been over 5,000 people jailed in Germany for the nonviolent expression of their political views. And I think it's really important to underline that. We're not talking about people who've thrown bombs or shot people and then claim that they're expressing their political view. We're talking about people who have written things, usually, in some cases, even sang songs. At the most recent part of the Zundel trial, his trial in Germany has begun, but it's been several times postponed. Well, at the most recent hearing, four German men who sang the German national anthem, Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, were fined several hundred marks each. Now, the anthem has four verses. The first two are no longer normally permitted in Germany because they talk about the lands that Germany lost have lost after the Second World War. So, for some reason, that's not permitted. It would be like in the United States, jailing somebody or fining them because they sang Dixie.
Okay, well, that's a Paul. I appreciate that analogy because that's the thing. I'm sorry to say, my fellow United States citizens here don't sometimes recognize, you know, that Canada is certainly a test tube for experimentation in this realm of freedom of expression. And, you know, what happens in Canada and what happens in other countries is very relevant to our own battle to preserve this First Amendment that we cherish in this country so much. So yeah, and that's a good example. You know, I had a caller the other night, Paul, who said, you know, while it may be illegal now to question the Holocaust in Germany and Austria and other countries, it may well very soon be illegal to raise questions in those other countries and maybe here in the United States about whether or not there really were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq or whether the real story of 9/11 as propagated by the United States government is in fact the real story. So that's why I think, you know, we need to emphasize this. People say, oh, well, I don't deny the Holocaust or I don't talk about the Holocaust, but the fact is you can take this Holocaust framework and expand it. And that's the thing that I want to drive home here to Americans. They say, oh, well, you know, that's happening in Germany, but, you know, it can happen here. And that's why I wanted to bring you on tonight, Paul. I want to remind our listeners that we do have open phones here, and if you don't understand what's going on, if you find this hard to believe, or if you have any questions for Paul, please call in, and I know he'll be able to answer them. The number here is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. After this break coming up, we have a good stretch of time where we can talk more, and hopefully we'll take some calls. We do have a caller calling in from Maryland. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking about freedom of speech here, folks. Let's not lose it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're ringing the alarm here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, about the government terrorist attack on Ernst Zundel. He's been kicked around by the United States government. He's been kicked around by the Canadian government. Now he's in Germany on trial facing 5 years in prison for daring to express his opinions about a historical event that seems to be of special interest to some very powerful people. And it's pretty scary, ladies and gentlemen. We have with us tonight someone who's been fighting for freedom in Canada for a long, long time. He's with the Canadian Association for Free Expression. His name is Paul Fromm, F-R-O-M-M. His website is CanadianFreeSpeech.com, just like it sounds. And I want Paul to give his mailing address out there, so get your pen and paper handy. Take it down. You might want to send Paul a contribution. I'm sure he'll send you some samples of has some very interesting newsletters on a variety of subjects. So, Paul, why don't you give your address, please?
Yes, Mike, I'm very glad to. You can shorten the Canadian Association for Free Expression to CAFE.
That's pretty easy, C-A-F-E.
As in where you get some coffee. So CAFE. P.O. Box 332, Rexdale, and that's R-E-X-D-A-L-E, Ontario, and that can be shortened to just capital O, capital N. And our postal code is M like mother, 9, W like Wilfred, 5, L like Larry, M9W5L3, Canada. And anybody who contacts me, I'll be glad to send them some information. And also, we are raising money for Ernst Sundell's Defense Fund. So if you're inclined to help him out, then we'd be very glad to pass that on. And, of course, everything will be acknowledged with a receipt.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Paul. Again, that's CAFE, P.O. Box 332, Rexdale, R-E-X-D-A-L-E, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code up there is M, M as in Mike, 9, W as in Willow, 5, L as in Long, 3, M9W5L3. Now, Paul, we have some callers here that would like to chat with you. Let's bring up Mike from Maryland. He's been very patient here.
I'm not as patient as you think, because I just got on just a couple of minutes ago. But this is really an interesting show, as always. Every person that I've met from Canada is really very, very nice, very friendly. So I wish you the best. But I'm trying to get a handle on this, because I'm just dumbfounded that somebody like the guy in Austria could be sentenced to 3 years in prison for expressing his own opinion. And let me ask you something. Is it in the case in Germany, and I guess your case, which I had trouble getting the frequency, so I missed the first few minutes, but is this an indication of the inordinate control of the Zionist Jewish community, not only in the press and the media and in various countries throughout the world, and maybe even the governments, but or is this an indication, or is this just one step of the globalist agenda to use this as an excuse or to clamp down on civil liberties and free speech in general, and this is the reason, you know, I can't think of the French expression, the terror or whatever, to do this, you know?
In other words, Chris, I guess you're asking, is this a more broad-ranging plot or conspiracy, to use the sensational term? In other words, they're using this Holocaust issue as a pretext for...
Yeah.
For instituting, you know, laws governing freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, I think actually both points are correct. Certainly it's part of a one-world attempt to clamp down on anybody criticizing the New World Order. It's more repressive in some countries than others, not as repressive in your country yet. It's also, in some cases, the result of very, very strong organized Zionist pressure. And I think you were referring to historian David Irving, who just last week was sentenced to 3 years in jail for a speech he gave back in 1989 in Austria, where it allegedly he denied the Holocaust. Now, the exact things that he said were not brought up at the trial. So for taking a historical stand, a man who has written over 30 books and sold in the millions and millions of copies of them, finds himself in an Austrian jail. There's something seriously wrong when that happens, and that is happening right around the Western world.
Now, Paul, excuse me, Mike, I just wanted to mention, I think it's probably important to point out in the context of Mike's question that the United Nations itself recently just... issued some sort of, I wouldn't call it an edict per se, they passed a resolution condemning Holocaust denial, and did they not in fact more or less suggest that nations should pass laws against Holocaust denial, quote unquote?
I think that was certainly implicit. And
yes.
And my feeling is that when you do that, what you're doing is elevating one view of history to a religion. History should be debatable. And, sometimes people talk nonsense and sometimes, they come up with something really sensible. But history is always fluid. We're always finding out new things that may get us through and maybe reinterpret history. And history should not take on the appearance of a state religion where if you dissent, you go to jail or worse.
You know, Paul, last night here in the show, we had another fellow named Paul. I mentioned this at the beginning. You probably didn't hear this, but we had a young entertainer. He's a rock musician who, he appears at a lot of patriotic rallies here in the United States, and he doesn't sing songs about the Holocaust. He sings songs about liberty and freedom, plus some generic rock and roll music, but he was barred from entertaining at a Libertarian Party rally on the campus of Rutgers University, not because of anything he sings about, but because on his website, on the Internet, he has some favorable articles promoting the freedom of Ernst Zundel and David Irving and other people who have been called Holocaust deniers. So if anybody has any doubt that this Holocaust club can be used effectively here in the United States to prohibit freedom of speech, I think the story we heard last night is quite parallel here. So, Mike, we have another caller here. If you have another question, I'll let you fire it out.
Well, can I just make one comment? There's somebody that talks a lot about this in a similar vein is Tex Mars, and he's on just about the same frequency as you, 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night. And if you think you're the crosshairs of the ADL and JDL, I think Tex Mars might have you beat. But he talked about the Zionist control of the Soviet Union, and he said that when the Soviets took control of Russia, the very first law they passed was any criticism of Zionism was punishable by death.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, they for the longest time in the Soviet Union, we know it's very interesting. In the Soviet Union today, it's not Soviet Union anymore, it's Russia. In Russia today, there have been complaints by groups who are calling for all sorts of laws banning freedom of expression there relating to these issues. But thus far, the Soviets or the Russian government doesn't seem to have buckled. Well, Mike, I want to thank you for
your
call. Let's move on to Chris from Chicago. Chris, come on up.
Hi. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Fromm for defending our human rights so vigilantly.
Thank you, Chris.
I have a question about the due process. Not only have they violated his rights to free speech, but it appears that he's not really allowed to present a defense, and truth itself is not a defense.
Yes, that was absolutely true in Germany. In fact, his lawyer, or one of his lawyers, has been threatened, a woman by the name of Sylvie Stolz, has been threatened that if she appears to be denying the Holocaust, she too will be charged. It's not open to them to question and say, well, listen, all Mr. Zundel said was this. This particular thing is a proven historical fact, or here is evidence for what I said. That doesn't matter. And that is why these types of Holocaust denial laws, so-called, are really religious, are enforcing a religion. History should be open to argument and debate. And when you say you cannot put an argument forth, that's like a religious argument. Religion is always a matter of faith. You know, you really believe or you don't believe. And in theocracies, which have a state religion, you're not permitted to question that religion. And that's what's happening. And certainly, somebody who's very concerned about English common law, I find it shocking that truth is no defense. But you're not even allowed to argue it, because that's the very basis of our system. Otherwise, why would we swear in court, you know, when we take the witness stand, I swear to tell the truth. If truth is no defense, if truth doesn't really matter, well why not just tell a pack of lies?
You know, I'm always, when I hear these horrible, horrible Twilight Zone stories about what's happening to people like David Irving and Ernst Zundel and Guillermo Rudolph and these thousands of other people, these nameless, faceless people that we don't know about, their individual stories. I just can't help but recall, you know, the old legend that in Germany, first they came for the Jews, then they came for the Catholics, then they came for the Jehovah Witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. Well, maybe here in our free West, maybe someday in the future, if we don't stop this, we're going to say first they came for the Holocaust deniers, then they came for the 9-1-1 doubters, and then, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, you know, Paul, let me ask you, where do you see this all going, Paul? I mean, is it going to get worse before it gets better? What's going to happen?
Well, I think it is going to get worse, because certainly in my own country, Canada, and also in Europe, and I'm afraid maybe in the United States as well, a lot of people have lost their passion for freedom and freedom of speech. I was told on the weekend, I was down in Washington, D.C., that there'd been a recent poll taken in the United States, and over 40% of the people thought that David Irving deserved a jail sentence for what he said. And that suggests to me that a lot of people, even in the nation that's most attached to free speech, the United States, don't get it, that freedom of speech is absolute, that you have got to have the right to express your opinion, your beliefs. It doesn't mean anybody has to agree with you. And even if your beliefs are offensive to some people, that's what freedom is all about. And I think people have to think really carefully about this, about freedom of speech. It's very much under attack.
Yeah, Chris, do you have any further thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm wondering what the position of the ACLU, Amnesty International, the European Court of Human Rights, all of those bodies which have set themselves up to defend these rights, why haven't they run to the defense of these people when it's such a clear-cut abuse of all of our rights?
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that. We have, in Ernst Zundel's case, from the very beginning, we tried to get Amnesty International to adopt his case because it would seem to fit. Amnesty defines a prisoner of conscience as a person who is punished or in jail for the nonviolent expression of his political, religious, or other views. That was Ernst Zundel to a T. There he was in solitary confinement in a Canadian jail on bogus claim that he was some sort of security threat. Amnesty wouldn't touch it at all. They said, well, we don't defend Holocaust deniers. The fact is that in the totalitarian frame of mind, anybody who opposes the interests of the state is labeled something bad. You might be a subversive Holocaust denier, anti-Soviet, or whatever the regime is. He's a bad person. And that's the type of person who gets tossed in jail. There are very, very few countries that truly believe in freedom of speech. And it's very easy for the limousine liberals in my country and yours to adopt, as they did a few years ago, some Nigerian poet. And the Nigerian poet was accused of having said nasty things about the government and therefore being a subversive, and they shot him. And lots of people signed petitions about this fellow and said what a terrible thing it was. But that didn't cost these people, these limousine liberals in the West, anything. I mean, what Nigerian is going to do something bad to them? But, to stand up to the Zionist lobby in Canada or the United States or Western Europe, it requires a certain amount of courage. And groups like Amnesty International, as far as I'm concerned, is a complete fraud. That they just take the easy cases. Well, and I'm sure they pat themselves on the back and think, oh, what a fantastic job we've done. We stood up for this Nigerian poet. Well, if you really want to stand up for people suffering for their beliefs, stand up for people like David Irving or Ernst Zundel.
And 5,000 other people who suffered under the same laws. Chris, yeah. That's an excellent question. I want to thank you for your call, and we're going to move on to Troy calling from New York. Troy, come on up.
Yes, thank you. Wherever truth is no defense, then falsehoods, lies, and slanders are clearly enthroned.
Absolutely.
And therefore, liars and slanderers. The truth doesn't... What does the truth have to fear from the truth? The truth doesn't need or use censorship. It has no fear of debate, of free speech. The light doesn't fear the light. It's the darkness that fears the light. It's the liar that fears freedom of speech, because this is how truth arrives, and the liar doesn't want to be exposed. If everyone is allowed to speak, then the truest voices are allowed to speak and hopefully be recognized. So all of these laws, censorship is about the liar legally protecting his lies from the truth, and hence himself from exposure and from justice, and that's what's going on here. And specifically about the Holocaust, I would direct everyone to thehouseoftroy.com. Four words, the House of Troy. Look at the Satanic Jewish Holocaust. And judge for yourself whether this be true or false, or whether this be true or Jew. And, you know, I encourage CAFE, you know. And, see, we cannot surrender freedom of association or freedom of speech. If we lose the ability to speak the truth, well, then we're going to be living under a darkness, a true dark age, such as existed in Soviet Union. We simply cannot surrender freedom of association or of speech. If you just compare the scientific method, which is truth-seeking would be the scientific method, compare that with dogmatism or religion. You know, the religion has comes down from the mount with the alleged truth, and anyone who disputes is persecuted, you know, as a liar, as a demon, as whatever. But I think we should use the scientific method and seek the truth that way, because that's the only way to find it. Truth can only arrive into town, you know, on the donkey of freedom of speech.
Well, Troy, the donkey of musical suppression is coming up here, and we have to go to a break. I want to thank you for your call. When we come back, we have a couple more callers, and then we're going to wrap it up with Paul Fromm of CanadianFreeSpeech.com. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're going to be wrapping it up here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, at least this hour, with myself, Michael Collins Piper, and our special guest, Paul Fromm, from the Canadian Association for Free Expression. And, of course, his website is CanadianFreeSpeech.com. I do recommend you get up there. And I want to let you know that this week in American Free Press, the newspaper I write for, here in Washington, we're going to have a big spread on this issue of these laws governing Holocaust denial and what a threat they are to us all. You know, we have three callers up here, and we only have a few minutes to go, so I'm going to try to bring all you guys up here, so keep it short and sweet. Tom from Brooklyn, come on up.
How you doing, Mike?
How are you doing,
Paul?
Tonight?
You realize that in America there has been an act to suppress any speech about Jews, Zionism, or Israel. Correct?
Well, I think...
H.R. 4320?
Which is that? What's that legislation again?
H.R. 4320, I believe it was.
Frankly, I'm not sure of the particular legislation. I'll have to take your word on that. What is that legislation?
Basically, you can't talk about it.
Okay, I'll have to look that up myself. I feel quite ignorant. Yeah,
Mike. When I saw that first come up, I started to laugh. But when they took down my site, www.koshertaxscam.com, I realized that there was something to it. Folks, you no longer have free speech in America. Mike, you know what? My lifelong Jewish friend doesn't talk to me anymore because I went to a Liberty Lobby meeting. How many people do we have on the board of policy that are Jewish in Liberty Lobby?
Oh, well, Liberty Lobby no longer exists. It was run out of business precisely because it was speaking out on freedom of speech.
But we had Jewish people participating on the board of board of policy.
Well, that's exactly correct. But, you know, when you take controversial positions, you set yourself up to be shut down. So I think
okay, Mike, let the next guy go. I just wanted to bring
that
point
up. All right, Tom, appreciate your call. Wayne calling from Canada. Talk to his fellow countryman, Paul Fromm.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks, Michael, for having David on. I wasn't familiar with him, and I really appreciate the Republic Broadcasting Network for having this kind of topic, for having this kind of guest on, because we can't get it up here. And America, you got to wake up. You got to keep RBN going, because we need this free speech. We need
okay,
to
well,
topics.
I hope you and all the Canadians that are listening are going to check out CanadianFreeSpeech.com and find out what is going on.
I have checked it out, and I would also encourage you to also check out the CanadianActionParty.ca, and please have Connie Fogle, the leader of that party, on as a guest one day, because she's the only one talking about the police state.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good guest to have. So, Wayne, I want to...
North American Union.
Okay, I want to thank you for your call, Wayne. Let's squeeze in a tough-talking Texan named Gene. Gene, come on up.
Yeah, you know, only liars fear the truth, and only liars fear debate. I don't see why people don't want to debate not only the issue of the Holocaust, but evolution or any political debate or even religious debate. I just don't understand why people don't want to debate things that are controversial. I mean, anybody that doesn't want to debate is automatically a liar in my book.
You know what? I couldn't agree with you more, Gene. And on that note, I want to thank you for your call and spend the last couple minutes here with Paul Fromm. Paul, we have like a minute or two left here. How could you wrap it all up? I mean, I want people to go to your website at CanadianFreeSpeech.com. What's the best thing people can do to help you out?
If they're in Canada or if they're in the United States and would like to help out the victims of thought crimes laws, they might want to send us a donation, and they can earmark it for either just for our efforts or for political prisoners like Ernst Zundel or David Irving. And the other thing people must do is to talk up freedom of speech to their friends. You know, a lot of people are really confused, and a lot of people are afraid that they've been cowed by all this talk about terrorism, and they think if I say anything, it will somehow stand in the way of the fight against terrorism. As several of your callers have said very eloquently, it's not truth if it has to be enforced by a law. Real truth can stand on its hind legs and deal with other points of view and falsehood, and will come out on top.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.